If you have your Bibles tonight and would like to read with me in the lesson, turn to 1 Kings chapter 8, and I want to read verses 54 through verse 61. 1 Kings chapter 8, beginning with verse 54. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And let these my words, wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. And again, that's taken from 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 54 through 61 for a scripture reading. The thought that I have on my heart tonight that I would like to bring before you is the great promises of God. And Solomon spoke about that in these verses that were read. If you look in this book of 1 Kings from about the 5th chapter through the 8th chapter, it was talking about the preparation for and the building of the temple. And in this 8th chapter, where I have read from this evening, I want to do just a brief summary. The temple, the building of the temple, had been completed. Solomon, in this chapter, was praying, had prayed a prayer of dedication over the temple, and where we took up reading here in verse 54 was at the end of his prayer. And he had called the elders of Israel together and told them to bring the Ark of the Covenant out of the city of David and to bring it into the temple, and along with other things that his father David had dedicated to the temple. And he spoke also in this chapter about the fact that it was his father David's desire to build a house for the Lord. But God did not allow David to do that. But he spoke, I believe, around verse 32 or so in this chapter, or perhaps a little bit before that, but also in this chapter, Solomon spoke about that, and about that the fact that although God did not allow David to build the temple, he did tell him that there would be one that would come from his loins that would build it. And Solomon, in this chapter, Solomon says God has fulfilled that promise, because I have come and built the temple of the Lord. So God he said, has brought about that which he promised through the son of David and fulfilled it in me building the temple. And as he goes on in this chapter where we have read from, he said in verse 56, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant." The things that God had promised, Solomon said, he has carried out every one of them. Not one of them has failed. Now, I am thankful, and I know that you tonight are thankful, that God has promised us great things. The Apostle Peter spoke about the promises of God, and he called them exceeding great and precious promises. And when you think about it, you go back to the book of Genesis and read about God's creation of man, and it's a testimony to God's grace and God's mercy that he would promise anything good to the human race the way that the human race treated God. And we know that we only have these promises from God because he is a gracious God, because he is a loving God, and because he is merciful. And because of that, God has made promises. He has made very distinct and particular promises to his people. And he has made and promised some things in general to the human race. Now, everything that God has promised, I believe that he will fulfill. Just as Solomon spoke here, there's not one of God's promises that he will fail in. I'm glad that God is greater than us in that way. And his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Now, as I ask this question, and I certainly don't am not asking you to raise your hand or anything like that tonight, but as I ask this question before you, have you ever made a promise to someone and not kept it? I wish that I could say no, but I'd be telling a lie if I did. I'm certainly not as steadfast as God in keeping everything that I promise. When we think about the promises of God, we need to understand, as it was spoken in Titus chapter 1, verse 2, that we have promises from someone that cannot lie. It's not consistent at all with God's nature to lie. And so God promised, the verse there in Titus spoke about in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised. And so the promises of God are sure in that way. Now, you and I might make promises to someone, and I can't truthfully say that I ever made a promise to someone with the intention of breaking it. That would be a pretty bad thing to do, to promise something to someone willfully intending not to keep it. But I have promised many things to people and said, I will do this, or I will do that, or I'll see to this, or I'll see to that. And because of different reasons, because of different things, not kept it. Sometimes I'm sure that I made them and forgot that I even made them. Told somebody that I would do something and forgot. And I'm getting worse all the time. If I don't write something down, it slips my mind. And I'm sure that we tell people things and then we forget to do it. Or perhaps we may tell somebody that we'll do something and find out that we don't really have the capability to do it. Maybe we overstepped our bounds and and told somebody we would do something that we're not able to do. But at any rate, whatever the reason, we're not as sure to keep everything that we promise as God is. And of course, sadly enough, it is possible for human beings to lie. But God cannot lie. Everything that He says He will do, He will do. Every promise of God is not pleasant. Because the Lord has promised, and you can find this taught throughout all the Scripture. I mean, it's just as sure as anything could be. God has promised us that He will bless our obedience. But He has also promised us that He will punish our disobedience. God has promised to bless us and to bestow His goodness upon us if we will do the things that He commands. He has also promised that He will bring the rod of chastisement upon us if we disobey the things that He has commanded. But you know, even in that, thank God for His promise of that. Because God would not chasten His people if He didn't love us. And so thank God for His correction. And you know, we're taught not to despise that correction. When we do something wrong, it's a good thing that God will correct us and will point us in the right direction and help us to walk the right path, because we are prone as people to stray from that. And so thank God that He will correct us in that. God has made promises that are based upon conditions. There are conditions to things that God has promised. I believe that God has promised to the world salvation through His Son. But it was based upon the conditions of repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look in the first chapter of Romans, verse 16, Paul did not write there and say, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone." What he did say was, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So those that will be beneficiaries of that promise are going to have to repent and believe in order for the gospel to be the power of God in their life. I want us to think for just a little while about some of the things that God has promised us. And as I've already said, I am thankful to God for His promises. You know, I believe that perhaps Peter, under inspiration, defined them as well as they could be when he talked about God's promises being exceeding great and precious, because they sure are that. But I don't know if we have enough adjectives and verbs and nouns and adverbs in the English language to really show just how great the promises of God really are. But I'm thankful to God that He did promise that everyone that would come to Him, regardless of where they were from, regardless of what their upbringing was, regardless of what their culture was, I'm thankful that God promised that for all of those that come under the sound of the truth and will believe the gospel and will turn to Him in repentance and seek Him for the salvation of their soul, if they truly trust God with all their heart, I'm glad that God promised eternal life to everyone that will meet his conditions. I'm thankful that included in God's promise that everyone was a part of that, and that God did not leave anybody out. If he would have, it may have been me, and it may have been you. God has also promised, and I want you to know this, perhaps there's somebody here tonight that's lost and without God. God has also promised that for all of those that fail to repent, all of those that fail to turn to God and repent of their sins and trust Him with all their heart will have to spend eternity without Him. We'll have to spend eternity apart from His mercy and without Him, because God will only save those that meet His conditions. God made a promise to David, and we can look back, I believe, in the beginning of this chapter and find that spoken about. It's also spoken about in, I believe, in 2 Chronicles, somewhere around chapter 6. Don't quote me on that, but I know that it's spoken of in 2 Chronicles. God had made a promise to David that, based upon certain conditions, that there would not fail him a man on the throne of Israel. But the conditions were there that if his people would keep his commandments and would walk in his statutes and would do the things that he had commanded them to do, then God gave the promise that if those things were done, that there would not fail of his lineage a man on the throne of Israel. I believe that God has made promises to the church that have conditions attached to those promises. We can look back into the 20th chapter of Exodus, and we can find that there was one of the commandments there that said that we were to honor our mother and our father. Honor thy father and thy mother, because that it might be well with you and that you may live long in the land that I will give unto you. And if we look in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, we find there Paul writing and speaking about that, and he says that it was the first commandment with a promise, that if you would honor your father and your mother, that it would be well with you and that you mayest live long upon the earth. And so, again, God has given promises that have conditions with them that must be met, must be fulfilled in order that we might receive the promise. I believe that God, one of the things that God has promised to the church, and you know, He has made us so many wonderful promises. The Lord promised the church to be with her always, even unto the end of the world. But we see in that, in if we look in Matthew's account of the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, we see some things that preceded that promise. Jesus came and spake unto them and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, I believe today, I'm convinced today, I totally believe that as long as we will do those things that the Lord commissioned us to do, that the Lord will be pleased to dwell with us, the Lord will be pleased to watch over us, the Lord will be pleased to bless us, and to help us as a church if we will do those things that he has told us to do. But if we stop doing those things, if we fail him in those things, then we cannot lay claim to the promise that he has given us, that he would be with us always, even unto the end of the world. Sadly enough, throughout the years, there have been those that those churches that once stood for the truth, and they gave it away, or they sold it. You know, the Bible tells us to buy the truth and sell it not. When you got the truth, hang on to the truth. Don't let go of the truth. And sadly enough, there have been churches that have let go of the truth. And I'll tell you what, I believe that God dwells where the truth dwells. And God bears witness to the truth. And he does not bear witness to a lie. And God does not stay among people and bless those that are not of the truth. God dwells among the truth. And he will be with those that uphold the truth. Now we may have times, and I know that it happens. We may have times where we in ourselves, we become cold and we become indifferent. And maybe we just don't walk as close to the Lord as we ought to walk at times. And whenever we find ourselves in that condition, then we need to get it straightened out with the Lord. We need to get our hearts warmed and we need to get straightened out with God. But I believe that for every church that will walk according to the truth and that will stand for the truth and uphold the truth. Listen, if you stand for the truth, you won't always be popular in the world. In fact, you will rarely be popular in the world if you really stand for the truth. Lest we forget, there's people in the world today that don't like us. It's a fact. There's people in religion today that don't care for people that will just preach the plain truth. There's people in the world today that are not interested in attending a church that is only concerned with preaching the truth. I found that out by experience. I've had people call me at different places where I pastored and said that they were looking for a church and asked me what our church was about. And I would tell them, about our church. I would tell them about the things that we believed. I would tell them that we believe in preaching the truth and upholding the truth. And their question would be, now you mean that you're not using Dr. So-and-so's program and your church isn't using that and using this? They weren't looking for the truth. They were looking for something to satisfy their flesh a lot of times. A lot of people don't want just the truth. In fact, a lot of people don't want it at all. The truth doesn't always make people feel good about themselves, does it? The truth of God will convict us of our sins through the truth of God, the Holy Spirit of God. He will convict us in our hearts about things. And the truth doesn't always make people comfortable. But I'll tell you what the truth of God will do for those that will receive it and those that will believe it. It'll do just exactly what Jesus said it'll do. It'll set you free from those things. The truth will make you free. I love the truth. I wish I was better at preaching it, but I love the truth. I love those down through the years that have stood for the truth. I love those that have defended the truth. I love those that have been willing to die for the truth. I've loved those, and God bless the memory of those that have preached the truth, that those churches that have stood for the truth. God bless those churches that have thrived in having pastors that would preach the truth to them. God bless them. They've been recipients of the promises of God. I'll tell you what, I'd rather have the promises of God. I would rather be among people that stand for the promises of that rest on the promises of God and stand for the truth of God. If it's just a faithful few that gathers together to uphold the truth, I would rather be among that number than to be among thousands that didn't care anything at all for the truth, because I know that the blessings of God through His promises are going to be upon those that uphold the truth, and God is going to be pleased to dwell and be present with those that preach His word, that make disciples, that baptize them according to His word, and that teach them to go on and observe the things that God has commanded. God is going to be with and bless those people. Not one thing will He fail in. Isn't that wonderful that we have a God that never fails? God never fails. He never fails. God, the God that we serve, the Bible teaches me that He doesn't slumber, He doesn't sleep. His ears are always attentive to our cries. His eyes are always up on us. God sees everything that we do. He knows everything that we think. He hears every word that we speak. He even knows the words. If you read the 139th Psalm, you'll find out that God even knows what we're going to speak before the word ever comes across our tongue. God knows what we will speak. God is always listening to us and always watching us and always attentive to the prayers of His people. You know, God is not just sitting in heaven stubbornly and capriciously saying, well, you know, I guess if one of them comes to me, I'm just going to have to listen to him. No, He's listening. He's attentive. God wants to hear from His people. He wants to bestow upon us all the goodness that He has promised through His word. You know, if you walk through this life and you give yourself to the Lord, you give your life to the Lord, you dedicate your life to His service, you may not end up with great worldly wealth, or maybe you will. You may not end up with the great possessions of this world. You are not likely to end up with great fame. But if you live your life for the honor and the glory of God, then you can lay hold of His promises. And they're better than silver and gold. The blessings of God cannot be purchased. They're far greater than what silver and gold could ever do for anybody. You know, I don't know what tomorrow holds. I mean, I don't know everything that will happen tomorrow. Can anybody here tonight declare it to me? Is there anybody here tonight that could stand up? You may have some plans about tomorrow. You may have some things that you think you're going to do. But can anybody here tonight truly stand up and say, "Preacher, I know what I know everything that's going to happen to me tomorrow. Those things are uncertain to us. We don't know what tomorrow will bring." Jesus taught us that very plainly in His Word. You know, He told us not to think too much about tomorrow. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. If tomorrow comes, tomorrow will bring us what God brings to us. We don't know if it's going to come or not. We don't know what's going to happen. But I do know some things that are going to happen out in the future for those of us that's God's people, because God has promised them to us, and not one of His promises will fail. You know, when the Lord saved us, He promised us that we would always be saved. We have that promise from God. We're told in His Word that we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Listen, friends, if you've been saved tonight, you have an ironclad promise from God that you're going to heaven. Isn't that great? Not anything can take it away. There's not anything that can make null and void that promise that we have from God, that all of His children are eternally secure in Him, that we will walk the streets of gold. Friends, listen, for those of us that are saved, our eternal destiny is already sealed and promised. And we're going to dwell in God's sweet heaven when this life is over. God has promised to us that when we die, our soul will go to heaven to be with Him, and our body to the dust from where it was taken, to lay and to wait the resurrection. I believe the resurrection will take place. I'm convinced it will take place, because God promised me in His Word that it would take place. John chapter 5 verse 28, "The hour is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." As I go through life and I face the end of my life, if I'm one of those that die before the Lord makes His return, then I know that when they lay my body aside in death, I have a great promise from God, and I can rest in hope of a better resurrection, because I know the day is coming when I'll hear the voice of the Son of God and come forth and live. Jesus promised that He would be back, didn't He? He promised that He would return. And if you read in 2 Peter chapter 3, he speaks about that, the Lord's return. He speaks about that very thing. And he said, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day will come," and that promise that the Apostle Peter was talking about there was the promise of His coming, and the day will come when He will fulfill that promise, and the Lord Jesus will surely come. He will surely come. We will see Him. We will see Him. Friends, tonight, you've got that promise that we will see our Lord return one day, that He'll, for those of us that are already sleeping, He'll wake us up. We'll leave this old corruptible flesh behind. God will change it, give us a new body. That's God's promise, and it will be done. It will be fulfilled just as He has promised. And so, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. God will not fail us in his promises. He won't fail us. We may fail each other. We may fail God at times. But we can rest assured in God's promise that he won't fail us. Think about it. Think about what God has said he's going to do. I don't know how many people have lived on this earth over the last 6,000 years. That's approximately how long the earth has been here. I don't know how many people have lived on this earth. I don't know how much time is going to go on yet. I don't know how many more people are going to be born into the world. I don't have any idea how to number it. Perhaps, I don't know, the trillions or whatever. I have no idea how to number the people that will live throughout time on the face of the earth. I don't know how many of those people are going to be saved. But I do know this, that God knows every one of his people. And when you think about the end of time and the things that God has promised and the events that are going to unfold, the graves all over the world that house the people of God, and God has enough knowledge to know every one of them. There's not one of his people, not one of his children, that he doesn't know. And in the great day of his resurrection, there won't be one mistake made. Those that have died in the Lord will be raised to the resurrection of life, every one of them. Those that died without him will be raised to the resurrection of damnation, every one of them. God will not make any mistakes. God will keep his promise to every one of his children to give to them a new body that will be a fit body to inherit the heavenly kingdom of God. Thank God for his promises. Thank God for the things that he has promised to do for us if we will but obey him and keep his commandments. I'll tell you what, God will bless every nation that will do that. God will bless every church that will do that. God will bless every individual that will do that. God will bestow his promises upon those that will meet those things, those conditions that he has given to us. God's faithful. He's faithful in all that he has promised. Brother Strode, would you lead us in a hymn, please? I'd like to have a Christian handshake tonight, and I want to shake hands with every one of you and thank God for this day that he's given us, and thank him for all of his promises and all of his blessings.